You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
The primary character in our text tonight that we need to be familiar with as young men and young women of God, and especially also as youth leaders in training, is Jacob. The Lord changed Jacob's life. He transformed Jacob from a scammer or a schemer to a servant. Jacob was known for getting over on folk that were in his family. He scammed his brother out of his birthright. And so he did different things throughout his life, but he took the shortcut. And he was always looking for a way to come up that was not in line with God's word. But then the Lord changed him. He changed his life and he began to have a productive relationship with the Lord, in so much so that he began to serve God directly and indirectly. And how many know we can leave Jacob alone? When we gave our lives to Jesus, he also transformed our lives. How many know the Lord changed you from something you used to be? Oh, I can't hear y'all in here tonight. I used to be a fill in the blank, but he transformed my life. The scripture teaches that if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. But what I want to stick with you tonight is that even though God has saved us and is changing our lives, the Lord now expects us to serve him. He expects us to serve him in some capacity. Some of us may have a few responsibilities, and some of us may have more responsibilities. But either way, he expects us to serve him. Just as the Lord was using Minister Leeks to explain, we are part of the body of Christ, and every part of the body needs to fulfill its role. Everyone in here in some capacity needs to be serving. A servant has a number of definitions, but I want to give you a few that you can meditate on and study. Number one, a servant is someone that is an attendant to God. Say that with me. Say, a servant is an attendant. Yeah. We would be right to say a waiter. You wait on God. And whatever he wants you to do, you attend to that. If he wants you to hand out envelopes, you attend to that. If he wants you to play an instrument, that's what you attend to. Whatever God wants you to do in his house, a servant will do it. I like how the Lord used Minister Sarita to say, without complaint. You're just going to attend to whatever business God has chosen you to attend to. And listen, young folks, sometimes what he wants you to do will be in the forefront. But then sometimes what God may choose you to do may be in the background. But both are important. The Bible actually teaches that the members that are hidden are more important than those that are seen. And we can see that on tonight, how important it is to have the sound ministry, to set up the mics, to record and be on the camera and so forth. We don't see them. They're in the back every Sunday. But y'all see Pastor ripping and running tonight, trying to do this, that, and the other. They're important. So whether God chooses you to do something that people see or something that people don't see, it's important. I have never seen my lungs. I have never seen my intestines. I have never seen my pancreas, but I need them. And they are important. And if they don't work right, you're going to know it. And the same thing in the church. If you're out of place, if you're not functioning properly, it affects what we can see. Man, why the air wasn't on? Somebody wasn't attending. Or why the speakers making noise? Somebody ain't. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Number two, a servant is one who runs errands and completes ministry duties. You run errands and complete ministry duties. That's what a servant does. A gopher, as we used to say. I need you to go for this, and I need you to go for that. But it's important. Because I need to be here, but I need something else, so I need you to help me or assist me. Can you go do that? Finally, the same word that we use for servant is also used for deacon and minister. We have ministers here, but one day God may choose you to be a minister. I don't receive that, Pastor. It don't matter. If God done chose you, walk in it. And a minister is just simply an official servant in God's house. And a minister may run errands and do things behind the scene, or a minister may do things that people can't see. But God may choose you as a young man or a young woman one day to be minister so-and-so. He chose Jeremiah when he was a teenager. He chose Daniel to serve as a prophet when he was a teenager. So if there's nothing new under the sun, God may choose you. He chose me when I was 19 to step into leadership and serve as a leader. And then as I grew, God dealt with me and chose me to serve as a minister. And there's nothing new under the sun. God will still use folk to serve in an official capacity as a minister or just as a servant in his house. But either way it go, you need to be willing to do what God calls you to do. Am I right about it? Okay, let's look at some verses to back up my definitions and what I've been saying. Let's start in Exodus 9. Exodus 9. Now, for the sake of time, if you can't find Exodus, here it is. Because we on limited time tonight. Exodus 9 and 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. God's people should serve the Lord. And serve here is synonymous also with worship. But it also has to do with the context of what we're talking about tonight. God wants his people, his young people, to serve him. The days of being young and in church and doing nothing, them days been over. Let's go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Y'all learning? Okay, Matthew 8 and 14. Now when Jesus had came into Peter's house, whose house?
Peter.
All right. He saw his wife's mother lying sick with a what? With a fever. She was sick. Verse 15. So he touched her hand and the fever, what?
Left her.
Is that salvation? Is that deliverance? Is that healing? He saved her. He healed her. He delivered her, right? And look what happened next. And she arose and served him. She experienced salvation, deliverance. Then she went to work in God's house. She went to work. She started serving those who were in the house. And likewise, if you save, you need to be serving in some capacity in the house. Just ask God, just like, again, how he used Minister Sheree. Lord, what do I need to be doing? Because there's some of us in here, you good and saved. You just ain't serving. And it's a way that you can serve if you just acknowledge God. Guess what he gonna do? Direct your path. Mark 10. Again, we're looking at God expects us to serve. Y'all see it? Okay, Mark 10 and 43. Yet it shall not be so among you. Look at Jesus teaching. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. If you want God to use you greatly, you need to be a servant. And look how he's specific. Be your servant. You need to be serving other young people. Other young adults. Don't try to wait till you get grown. No, serve those that's among you. Because there's greatness inside of you. So how do you bring out the greatness? You got to serve. See, if you talk, I'm shy, I don't want to, you hindering greatness. You need to start serving. God may have a prayer ministry on you. Why do God keep waking me up in the middle of the night? And you wake up and you just get on the phone. God could want you to start interceding. That's serving. You wake up and turn on Netflix or get on your phone and everybody sleep, but you up. What am I supposed to be doing? Praying. It's somebody you need to be interceding for. You remember, we quote 2 Chronicles 20 and 20 about how we should believe the Lord God, and those that believe him will be established, and believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. We quote that, right? But before that, Judah was gathered, and they were praying. And you know who was gathered? The Bible specifically says the little ones. The young folk was praying. And see, at the MSW, we need some young folk to serve in the prayer ministry. Start interceding. Link up with Elder Leeks. What do I need to do? Because God, I believe, wants to use me to pray. Pray for the auxiliaries at the MSW. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the praise team. Pray for what's major and what's minor. You know, when Peter was locked in jail in the book of Acts, the church was praying. You know, young folks was praying. And when God delivered Peter and brought him to the church, they got a little girl out the prayer and said, go to the gate and see who that is. She came back and said, our prayer been answered. It's Peter. I'm really driving home the point that the Lord is revealing. You may need to be serving as a prayer warrior. Some of you, God is going to make you super wealthy. You need to serve as the giver. You the one that come with the big check. No, you think God is only going to allow these sinners to get big money. No, it's going to be some young folk come out to MSW that God going to be blessing with some big money. Don't you forget where you came from. Let me go ahead and write this $25,000 check and send that to the MSW. Let me write this $1,500 check, send it to the MSW. Or God may lead you. I heard so-and-so going to college in the fall. Let me pay for her first semester. Let me pay for his books. I heard so-and-so got a car and they going off to Jack State. Let me contribute to their gas fund. You serving. You serving. God is not going to bless you with all that money so you can just go buy shoes, clothes, and jewelry. Going to need somebody to, as Pastor Cleveland say, stroke that check and put it on the altar. Can I get an amen? And so when we get to our text, Jacob had been a diligent servant of the Lord directly and indirectly for some years. He had been serving Leah and Rachel's father, Laban. Been serving them for years, and as a result of how he served, and I'm going to show it to you tonight, he became wealthy. I said he became what? Wealthy. Understand something, young people. When you serve God, God going to bless you. I said, when you serve God, God will bless you. And because of how he served, this man became wealthy. His possessions was great, all because he served God. And Jesus said it in a different way, but it was the same thing. If we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And so in our verse in Genesis 31, he turns to Leah and Rachel, and notice his wording. He says, and you know that with all my might, I have served your father. With all my strength, all my ability, I've been serving. And see, that's the question the Lord has before us tonight. Have you been serving with all your might? Or have you been slack? Have you really been giving it your all? Have you been serving him in a capacity that you can say, Lord, I've been giving you my best. When I get up here to serve and sing, I'm laying it on the line. When I serve on them instruments, Lord, I'm locked in. And I'm giving you my best. When I get up to pray, receive the offering as a minister, are you serving with all your might? Have you been seeking the Lord throughout the week just in case you might be chosen to do something you weren't scheduled to? Then you'll be ready in season and out of season. That's what God is asking all of us from the pastor on down. Have you been giving it all of your might? And before you answer that, I got to show you Revelations. Before you answer, look at what Jesus told one church in Revelation 2:19. Y'all just look right here, because you may not even want to look down to your phone or Bible. But he says, I know your works. I know your love. And look at this. I know your service. I know. I know if you practice at home. I know how you really feel about what I've chosen you to do. I know your service. I know if you like being in the front more so than in the background. I know if you are really unified or not. I know your service. He know. He know your study habits. He know your prayer routine. So ain't no need to line up in here. Ain't no need to line. He know your service. When the scriptures go on the wall after every message, he know if you look at them throughout the week or not. I ain't got time to listen to the podcast, but you got time to serve and listen to somebody else on TikTok or YouTube. See, what we need to understand is the more we listen to the word from our shepherd, the more the shepherd's spirit gets upon you. That's the pattern. When I got to the church, let me tell y'all something. When I got to the church and I realized how rich the word was here, as a college student, I went to the tape ministry. I said, give me all y'all old messages, the ones that ain't selling. Can I please listen to them? Let me have them. And that's all I would listen to. Whenever the man of God would go somewhere, I was right there. And I wasn't leader, minister, or elder at the time. I was just following because I needed that word. But what I did not realize is that his spirit was coming over me. His spirit was coming on me. And it's the same pattern. God wants his servants to have the house spirit. How do you get the house spirit? You just got to let that word saturate you and then start putting it into action. Then your thinking, your talking, and your actions going to start being on the same page as your pastor. And that's true pastoral aid. When the praise team leader can come in and you be like, man, she's leading like pastor. That's that spirit. If the instrument leader cracked that whip, you be like, man, she tightened it up. She just like her pastor. I had a couple of people in the last few weeks the Lord allowed to come my way and tell me they watched the broadcast on television, and they say they leave the room. They say if they didn't know who I was, they would have thought they was listening to my pastor. And the Lord allowed, because I don't get a lot of feedback, but he allowed two people to come my way, and I said, well, Lord, thank you that I still got my pastor's spirit. And he wants that for our house as well, in a stronger measure, in a stronger measure. I know I'm telling the truth. And so the Lord said, I know where you're at. So the question tonight is, are we going to step up? Are we going to tighten up, as Baker liked to say? Three traits of serving with all your might, and then we're going to be done. And we're going to get up out of here. Y'all learning?
Yes,
all right, three traits. Before we go to these traits, I had one pastor this week that was at the service on Saturday. And he said, man, it was me and an elder. And he said it, well, both of us could hear it. He said, man, I was really looking forward to hearing Bishop Walker. He said he wasn't here. He said, but I must say, y'all handled it. And it was like he was here. And I didn't say nothing. I just grinned. And, you know, the elder, he didn't say nothing, you know. But when he left, the elder told him, he said, well, what'd he think? We've been taught. We've been trained. And it goes back to the point that I was making earlier. When you receive teaching in the word, that spirit gonna get on you. And that's what we want. And it's happening. I said it's happening. Let's go to Genesis 29. Three traits of serving with all your might. Number one, Genesis 29:20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. 7 years. And they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. See, what was going on is Jacob was going to work for Laban. And Laban asked, he said, well, what you want me to pay you? He said, your daughter. I want your daughter Rachel. She the fine one. That's what the Bible said. She was beautiful to look at. Leah had pretty eyes, but he wanted Rachel the fine one. He said, that's what I want. Laban said, all right. You want her? You don't want no money? You work for her. 7 years. 7 years you serve me, and I give you my daughter that you can have as a wife. Woo, woo. But what is the point that I want us to see here? The scripture says that he served them 7 years, but it only seemed like a few days because he was so in love with her. See, when it comes to serving God, you got to love your assignment. I said, you got to love your assignment. You got to love playing that saxophone, Josh. You got to love it so much to where mama don't have to ask you to practice at home. You be back in there, pick up the pieces. You back in there practicing because you love your assignment. You love it. You love it. You in the car practicing singing. You done heard from Sister Catherine what the rotation gonna be, and you in the car practicing. Lord, I lift your name on high. Woo! Lord, I love singing your praises. Oh, I might try that, Lord. You love it. David said that we should serve the Lord with gladness. Away with these folk that don't want to do what God has called them to do. If you don't want to do it, let it be known so God can raise somebody else up. But I want you to know, Pastor want to use you, God want to use you, but you got to love your assignment. If all we need you to do is carry the Bible, you better be the best Bible carrier there is. If we need you to sweep the floor, be the best sweeping the floor person there is. Love your assignment. Be faithful over little, and God will make you ruler over much. You got to love it. What's wrong with a person that loves sports but don't love their godly assignment? What's wrong with a person that can love their boyfriend or girlfriend but don't love their divine assignment? What's wrong with somebody that can love their car, their bike, or their hair but don't love their assignment? I've seen young girls and young men put more effort in the twisting their hair than they do in the things of God. Look how quiet y'all got. Now, I'm not saying my son don't love his assignment, but I do remember a time he loved the twisting that hair. You remember them days? Man, he would just give so much assist, he don't even want to get with. But he ain't the only one. Some of y'all in here, too. But me and his mother, we were like, boy, if you don't leave that hair alone, he be in there doing this, be in there doing that. He loved that hair. I guess it was like Samson, his strength was in his hair. And how many know it's okay to love yourself? But Jesus said, look, if you love yourself more than you love me, you ain't even worthy. You ain't even worthy. Do you really love your assignment? Can I come on in a little bit further? You got to love working with young folk. You got to love working with teenagers that may not tell you how good you're doing. You got to still love working with them. You got to love working with young people even when other grown folk don't see the benefit in working with young folk or serving young people. You got to love it. You got to love it. In your 20s, still working with young folk, but you got to love it. Them 40 and 50-year-old folk trying to mess with you, but you can't let them get in your ear. I love working with young people. Love in my 40s. Minister Powell, she older than me, but she still love her assignment. You got to love it. And there are things, young people, that would try to stop you from loving your assignment. And so you have to be careful, and you have to protect your assignment. Am I right about it? Genesis 30, 29. So if I'm going to love or serve with all my heart, I got to love what God chose me to do. I said I got to love what he chose me to do. Genesis 30, 29. So Jacob said to him, and he's talking to Laban. Now, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what, notice, you had before I came was what? Little. And it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since what? My coming. If you're serving with all your might, you should make your auxiliary better. Not worse, but what? Better. Not cause problems, but you should make your auxiliary better. Jacob told Laban, look, when I came to start serving you, you had a little bit. Now look at you. You got a lot. I done blessed you since I've been here. You got to know your value. You got to bring something to the table and cause increase to happen. You should make the auxiliary better. If your attitude making it work, check your attitude. Kill the attitude and make the auxiliary better. Come in here happy, ready to go to work. Whoever in charge is in charge, be happy and get it done. Make it better. So when you go on to something else, you can say, man, I left that. That's better. That's better. That's better. It was little, but now it's better. Because I served in a way that caused increase. I think about Minister Florence when we started Sister to Sister. It was little. She served for years, and it's better. It's better. So much so that it was functioning, and it is functioning, without even having to touch it, because she got it set up in a way to where you know what needs to be done. In life, young people, whatever you do, whatever job you go to, leave that job better when you came now. If you leave that job, be able to look back and say, well, I made it better in at least one particular area. Am I right about it? So make the auxiliary, make it better. Not worse, but better. Somebody shout better. Because sometimes in churches, people get slack and Zion and don't make things better. Make them worse. Paul addressed that. He said, man, I came together expecting things to be better, but y'all done made it worse. We don't want that. We don't want that. And thank God we don't have that. But we're going to talk about it so we never have that. Am I right about it? Make it better. Make it better. It's okay to put your sauce on it, but as long as it's going to make us make it better. Okay, last one, and then we're going to be done. Genesis 30, 37. Y'all learning? Yes, sir. Make it better. And sometimes to make it better, you got to work together. Yes. Work together. Don't be trying to be no long range at refuge. No, come together and make it better. Okay? Genesis 30, 37 through 43. I'm not going to read all of it, but I am going to explain it. Let's just read verse 43, and I'm going to explain the verses prior. The main verse is 43. Y'all with me? Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous. This is Jacob. And had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. If you're going to serve with all your might, Third trait, understand your dedication leads to elevation. Your dedication in serving God is what's going to cause you to elevate. You cannot be messy in God and God bless you. You cannot cause trouble in the church and God bless you. Your dedication to your auxiliary is a key to your elevation. When Jacob, these are his personal assets. So what was going on in verse number 37? Y'all still understand? What happened in verse number 37? Laban got to acting crazy and saw how much Jacob was a blessing to him and didn't want to honor what he told him concerning his daughter Rachel. So Jacob has said, look, just give me my own property. Give me my own stuff and let me move on. Okay? He said, look, let me pick out the sheep or the lambs from the flock that are spotted that you don't want. Just give me them few and let me have them. I'm going to go 3 days' journey away from you and I'm going to do my thing over there. So Laban said, okay. Y'all still with me? So Jacob took the spotted lambs, just a few, and he started breeding them. He started getting dedicated to breeding the lambs. He would get almonds and shave them. He would get, I believe it said, chestnuts and shave them and feed it to them, put them in the trough, give them a certain diet. He would treat them a certain way. He just got real dedicated in his service. And before you know it, he started having more lambs. He was breeding. He began to grow so much because of his dedication, he started having people work for him. Y'all see it? Servants. Men and women servants. Then he got some donkeys. Then he got some camels and some other livestock. God was blessing him because he was dedicated to what he was doing. When you serve God with all of your might, God going to start increasing you. I said, God is going to start increasing you. When you're faithful over little, he'll make you ruler over much. It don't matter if you come out of a family that don't have a lot of money. Just serve God diligently. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. My dedication is key to my elevation. If I just stay dedicated to what God has chosen me to do, he gonna elevate me. Not just spiritually, these are things. God will elevate your wardrobe. I'm serving, but I don't have a lot of clothes to wear. Just stay dedicated. God gonna upgrade your wardrobe. When I got here, y'all know my testimony. I just had my same suits I was wearing in high school, but I stayed dedicated. Suits was too big for me, but I kept them clean. I came to service. I was active. I did what I needed to do. And slowly but surely, my wardrobe began to change. Ooh, God will clothe you like the lilies of the field. God will clothe you. Y'all see this jacket? This jacket got my name on it. No. Can't nobody get this jacket or wear this jacket. This been tailor-made to fit my body. But my dedication led to elevation. Dedicated, and all I could afford was $99 suits. That's all I could afford, $99 suits. Maybe spend $119. But now, elevation. Elevation. Again, we're talking about things. That's why I'm telling y'all, serve God. Just serve God. Serve God. There's reward for your labor. But the key is, young folk, you got to be dedicated. You got to be dedicated. You want God to anoint you more? You got to be dedicated. Lord, I really want you. Well, that oil come with a price. That oil that you want, that anointing that you want, it comes with a price. And you're going to have to be more dedicated. You know how you chump out in some of your trials? You know how you get to acting up in some of your trials? Now y'all done fell off. That's part of your dedication. You're going to have to learn how to come to practice when you're going through and still smile. Drop the attitude and still come in here serving with some gladness. Stop pouting about what you're going through, because everybody go through something. Count it all joy. Dedication leads to your elevation. And that's what God is going to do in greater measures here at the MSW. It's going to elevate young people that are dedicated. Dedicated to serving in God's house and serving in the capacity that he wants. So the question is still on the table. I said the question is still on the table. Are you serving with all your might?